Hey guys, thank you for tuning in on another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts, where we scour the pubs, the barns, the bars, you name it. We scour the places for the perfect musicians to come on the show and perform for us. So we are just glad that you're here. I am also joined here by the very beautiful, talented, and musically informed Nikki Cross.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your kind words, Christopher.
Oh, you're welcome. I definitely saw it written in a bathroom wall.
Was my phone number attached to that, too?
Yes. Yeah, it was, actually. I won't share that, though, because, anyways, so here we are. We are just entering into the year 2026. Yeah, raise the year. Have a lot to look forward to. We have some incredible shows lined up, don't we?
Yeah, we are right now. We're booked out until April.
I know. And we've been booked into 2026 for quite a while.
A few months now. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're hoping that 2026 is not only better for us, but better for you guys out there. But 2025 was fun. We had our good moments. You had got a chance to celebrate your birthday recently, huh?
I did. Went and did some traveling, decided that, I needed a real vacation. So,
nice.
I got my butt on an airplane and I went down to the live music capital of the U.S., Austin, Texas.
Woo!
It was such a great trip. I don't think I could have Northern barbecue ever again.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, I had bison ribs and brisket from Salt Lick Barbecue.
I like any restaurant establishment that has the word lick in it.
That's pretty finger licking good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then while I was down there, I got some more fresh ink because, I'm kind of covered. But before that, a week and a half before that, I actually took a road trip to Louisiana. I went to New Orleans for a few days where I got some ink there as well, because that's kind of my thing is whenever I go on vacation somewhere, I like to do a souvenir. And, if you're going to spend money on a souvenir, like screw a T-shirt or whatever, this is obviously going to last forever.
Yeah.
And it means something. So, I have palm trees on my ankle from Savannah, Georgia. And now, I have a magnolia, because that is the Louisiana state flower.
Pretty.
And then I also have blue bonnets, which is the Texas state flower. So I have to give a big shout out to Pablo Holland at No King's Tattoo in Slidell, Louisiana. He's the one that did my magnolia, and he was awesome, just gem of a human being. And then he also recommended Maxine Ball. She's over at All Saints Tattoo in Austin. So awesome recommendation from him, and she was also just amazing to work with and such an awesome person. So can't recommend them enough. If you're looking to get some ink when you're in Louisiana, go see Pablo at No Kings in Slidell. Or, if you're in Austin, go see Maxine at All Saints. And yeah, I have to give them a shout out.
I will make sure to make the trek now. I'm going to leave now.
You're just going for the barbecue.
I'm just going to go for the barbecue and some jambalaya.
You know what?
Yeah.
I had some really good gumbo.
Did you?
Down in Louisiana.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, nice. I know. I'm so hungry. It's but that's okay. It's fine. But you know what? You know what else I'm hungry for? Some Thurman action. And I'm not
interesting.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about Uma Thurman, although let's be honest. I can't say enough about our next guest.
We have more studio firsts.
Yeah. So many, actually quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure what to expect, although you had already known what to expect because you know how to find them, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found this one 6 months ago. Yeah, it was like back in June. I was at the Brew Barn at the Red Apple Farm. I was at one of the Sound Bites, Sunday Sound Bites, and was playing, and she was playing an electric ukulele, which I had never seen or heard of before. And that they have such a cool sound. Like, think of like that old surf rock.
Yeah.
She was playing that, and I thought she was just badass, and booked her on the spot. She like pulled out her schedule, and we scheduled her right then and there, and 6 months later here we are.
And not only did I really enjoy her music, although, you know, she did pull some awesome covers and played them in her own style, did an original, but the, you know, just the stories this one has, and the fact that it's her music journey is such a short one in retrospect to the quality and of music that she's playing, it's really impressive.
I have to say, though, honestly, the last few guests that we've had on our show really haven't been in the game all that long, which goes to show that, like, I don't know, music has no limits in terms of, like, when you start age-wise. Like, I know with, like, sports, usually, you know, you start younger on in life or whatever. But the last few musicians that we've had really only started their musical journey, you know, within the last maybe three to 5 years, and could have fooled me.
Yeah, it's inspiring because it tells you, or it goes to show you that you can start, becoming a musician at any age. Like, it doesn't need to be a day one. Although every time I see a 5-year-old playing like Beethoven Fifth on a, xylophone, it's just like, okay, listen.
But it also gives you, like, it's very inspiring if you think about it, like the quality and just the talent of, you know, try the thing.
Yeah.
Try the thing, you know, and you might end up being better than you think. And, you know, these are people that haven't been playing their whole lives, but it sure sounds like it.
And, you know, what she got to experience after just the beginning of a short beginning of her journey turned into just the most viral moment. And, you know, if you guys want to hear about that, you're going to have to listen to the whole episode. But trust me, you do not want to miss this story, right, Nikki?
Absolutely not. This was a great one.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
Yes. So with that being said, guys, Nikki, why don't you, after this commercial,
maybe,
who knows? It's a journey. After this commercial, Nikki, why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest?
All right, let's get into it. Today, we're joined by Kendra, an East Hampton, Mass. Native through and through. Born here, raised here, left, lived, and ultimately came back with stories and songs still taking shape. Kendra is a songwriter in motion, still discovering her sound and proudly pulling from a wide orbit of influence. Think Nirvana's Raw Edge, Beck's genre-hopping genius, Weezer's hooks, 90s alternative and punk energy, Bob Dylan's storytelling, and even a little Beach Boys sunshine. Beck is at the center of it all. If he can do everything, so can she. She's been playing music for just over 5 years, starting on Thanksgiving morning, November 26, 2020. Since that day, she's played the ukulele every single day. No breaks. That's 1,848 days and counting. She's also learning multiple instruments and leaning into live improv, often collaborating with her partner. Outside of music, Kendra somehow fits in even more lives. She's a paddleboarding enthusiast, an WPA certified instructor, an ERYT 500 yoga teacher, a science teacher, and a part-time homesteader. Music, movement, curiosity, and commitment, all wrapped into one human. Welcome to our studio, Kendra.
Thank you.
Woo!
Thank you for making me so amazing with your words.
You are amazing!
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for coming down to the studio. I know you just got here, and it's only been a few minutes. No, it's already we adore you, and it's been so great. I'm excited, and you have brought an arsenal of instruments that I am so excited to hear. And but let's go ahead and get started here in the beginning. When there was nothing, and then all of a sudden there was something.
That was November 26, 2020.
Oh, look at that. Well, that was a great day. So, with that, was music, how did music get, you know, come into your life? Was that something that just started right off the bat, or did you have some outside influences? Give us a little background there.
As a listener, music has been my life all along.
Oh, I know, right?
I grew up listening to oldies music. That's where the Beach Boys come from.
Yeah.
My mom was into Bob Dylan, but my dad always had Big Dave 103 playing in the car radio. And we would sing along to everything that was on there. It's funny, though, Big D is not golden oldies anymore. It's like the music we grew up with is now on oldies station, and I don't understand how that happened.
I know. When I started hearing Metallica on the classic rock radio.
There it is, folks. There's the Metallica mention.
I get it in every episode. I was just like, really, really?
At least we got that out of the way with sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I figured just, you know, put it in the front there. But that's cool. That's, you know, it's funny because same thing. Growing up as a kid, my father would always play the classic rock radio, you know, when everyone's trying to sleep. And
so you were listening to like 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with 50s, 60s.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Now that I've gotten older, I've gone back farther. So like that's what I'm listening to now, the 50s, 60s. And I've even gone back as far as the 20s and 30s. And I just love all of that stuff. But especially like the Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, that's great Christmas music.
Yeah, I know.
Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Brenda Lee.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, that's great. So at what age or when did you pick up your first instrument?
I just picked up my first instrument 5 years ago. I heard a Hi-Re song on, it wasn't the radio. There's no radio anymore. Everything's streaming.
Yeah.
It must have just come up on my YouTube music algorithm or something. And I was like, this song's beautiful. And I just started listening to it on repeat. And I had gone out of my way to not let anybody hear my singing voice for decades.
I'm the same.
Well, after I realized looking back, sorry, Dad, I'm throwing you under the bus. I haven't even had this conversation with you yet. Really sorry.
This is one way to break the ice.
We used to sing together all the time. Absolutely, right? Here's my therapy session on the podcast. We used to sing together in the car all the time and at home. And he's the one that, like, I was the son he didn't have, so I was his athlete too. But there was some time that must have been between the really awkward years of, like, 12 and 14 years old that he made fun of me, which we always made fun of each other and we still do. But he made fun of me while I was singing, and I realized looking back, that's when I stopped singing. So I, like, silenced myself, and then as I got a little older, I'd sing in the shower, and I, you know, the acoustics are really nice, so then you're like, maybe I'm not terrible at this, but I just had this thought that I couldn't sing at all, and I started singing along to that song all the time, and I went on a camping trip during the pandemic with a friend of mine, and the song came on my playlist while we were driving out to the Berkshires, and she was like, you have such a beautiful voice, and I was like, oh, somebody heard me. I've been protecting that secret for years. And I was like, she can't possibly mean that. But the song kept playing and I couldn't stop singing. She said, you sound so good with the ukulele. And I said, that's an ukulele? She's like, yeah. So that was in September. I got home from the trip. We had like no reception the whole way there and back, and came home and started shopping on Amazon. And a friend of mine that I grew up with used to own a music shop and taught lessons. And I was like, how do I know what kind of ukulele I want? He's like, just get one on Amazon that comes with all the stuff. And I was like sending him links, and he's like, yeah, that one's fine. So I got it. And I sat down, I think it was October 1st. I sat down, I was teaching online at the time because schools were closed.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, my lunch break. I got this guy on YouTube, and he's going to teach me how to play this while I'm on lunch. I'm starting today. And he starts talking. And he's like, "You've got your ukulele." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, I got my ukulele." And then he's like, "And you tuned it?" And I was like, "Shh."
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what this thing is supposed to sound like when I touch the strings.
Yeah.
So I put it down for almost 2 more months. And then because we have a 5-day break for Thanksgiving, I was like, all right, I'm going to pick it up again. I'm going to try. And I played Thanksgiving morning for an hour or two following those lessons. I learned "You Are My Sunshine." I never realized it was like only the part that everybody knows.
Yeah.
When I looked up the rest of the song, I was like, this is morbid. I had no idea that this song was a terrible story.
It is.
So, but I was playing it and I was like, I can't even strum and sing at the same time. How does that happen? I was posting myself on my Facebook page, like every day playing. I learned a bunch of Christmas music because it was that season. And I was like putting the songs up and be like, you're doing so good. And I look back at those videos and I won't delete them because they're terrible, but that's where I came from.
That's where everyone comes from.
Yes.
Right? Like, pick your favorite artists, you know, and deep dive back to like when they first started. They don't sound anything like they do now, you know, like we all started there.
But, I mean, once they had a contract and they were available for us to start hearing, they were way past where I was in those days. But I have no shame in it at all.
No.
The beginner's mindset is what's kept me going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can, I know I'm speaking for you now, Chris, but I mean, even think back to even our some of our first episodes where we had no idea what the hell we were doing. And, like, just the quality and the production and the flow and everything from, you know, almost 2 years ago to now, like,
oh yeah,
the glow up is real.
It is.
But it's really cool to, like, even though it's cringy as hell to go back and listen to those like first episodes, you know, it's also really rewarding too, to be like, I've come so far.
Yeah. And you have to know your roots. But I think like realizing that every day I'm not going to be as good as I am tomorrow makes it really easy. Like, it's okay to be horrible at things.
Yeah.
As a teacher, I wish my students would understand that. And that's like the only thing I lecture them about is, if you knew what I'm trying to teach you, you wouldn't have to be in my class.
Right.
You would already know it. Like, don't be afraid to suck at something that you don't know yet. Don't be afraid to be wrong. So obviously when people are paying me to play music, I don't want to make those mistakes. But even then, you learn how to play through the errors, and then that's when you know that you've leveled up.
Right. Yeah. When you can just make it kind of flow. Like, yeah. The only one's going to know you made a mistake is you. So don't draw attention to it.
Yeah. And I used to do a lot of that at first.
A lot of young people don't understand is like, or at least I know I didn't understand, is that like, you don't just go into something that, you know, you're automatically an expert. You look at these adults and think that, oh, they have it figured out. Like, they just got there. They didn't have to do any of the work to get there. I can tell you right now, I'm a 44 years old. I still have no idea what I'm doing. But that's part of life, right? It's growing. It's learning. It's making the mistakes. And it's through the mistakes that we learn. So, yeah.
Teachable moments.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nikki, do you have a question?
Yeah, so you said the first song that you ever learned to play was "You Are My Sunshine," which now actually, now you think about it, I want to go back and look at those lyrics now.
Yeah, go for it. It's not what I thought it was my whole entire life.
Yeah.
But, you know, they teach you like the single finger chords, so that's why that song comes up and that's where I started.
So after "You Are My Sunshine," did you ever jump to that inspiration song?
So that was like the goal song
at
first, and Trish actually plays it on the ukulele when in that song. Like, their music is with the full band is a lot different.
Sure.
So it was really neat that had happened to pop up, because my life has changed because of this song.
I love that.
I did eventually learn it, and that I was also horrible at. There was there's a group called 100 Days of Ukulele on Facebook. And there's something that is an internationally used method for people honing creative crafts called the 100 Days Project. So a woman in Hawaii actually decided, like, I'm going to host this. She's a teacher of ukulele, so she said, I'm going to host this for people that are part of her community on Patreon. And then she expanded it from there. And So here I am having played any music at all for less than 2 months. And I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to do that. And again, like, post myself online every day for 100 days, embarrassing myself. But I had no shame. I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah.
I was better every day. And I can look back at those 100 videos and be like, holy crap. But that's what it takes is
sure
the perseverance. And I do it out of enjoyment. There's nothing else other than, like, eating, sleeping, and bodily functions that I've done every day over and over and over again. And I can't go a day without strumming and playing music.
Yeah, it's just your life. It's what you do now.
And that 100 Days Project definitely set me up for that daily habit. At that point, I was like, what's a day without ukulele? Right. I don't need that life anymore.
And isn't there also like a saying, it's like it takes 21 days to form a habit or something like that? Yeah. So yeah, you're obviously way past that 21 days.
For sure.
So now it's just, that's just the way of life.
Yeah, I even keep an ukulele near my bed because if I realize I've gone through the day without playing, I'm like,
I ain't going to bed.
Can't let that streak die.
Right. I ain't going to bed without getting a tune out.
The day I don't play will be the day that I cease to exist.
Is it the day the music died?
Well, speaking of, playing music, do you have a song ready for us?
Sure. I guess that it's hard to narrow things down even when you're making a playlist and playing for a few hours, but since you wrote that delightful intro, I think we're going to start with some Nirvana.
You know, if I had a box right now, it would be heart shaped.
Aww.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to learn that one?
Not long.
Yeah.
There was a place along my journey where I learned how to bark the neck, and everything unlocked itself really quickly.
Nice, nice. I know. I find that the journey of learning a song is interesting because while there's a little bit of a journey, you know, trying to find the right chords and the timing, but sometimes it like teaches you, like, oh, okay, I didn't know you could, you know, do this or do that.
Absolutely. Transposing was part of that too, because when I first started looking things up on Ultimate Guitar, I was like, well, I can't play that chord, so I changed the key.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until later on, like, oh, I can change the key so that it's within my vocal range. Look at that.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah. So now you have, you know, grown your musical talents here, and you've started going out and playing at shows. I think the first time that our paths crossed was at the Hardwick Rock Festival.
Yeah.
The but when did you start going out and performing live?
My first gig was a benefit, and I'd been playing for about 8 or 9 months at that point in time.
Oh wow!
I played by myself, and everybody's like, "You're so great!" And I was like, "Awesome! I can do this." So, like I said, you just keep taking the next step and find out what works and what doesn't. And thankfully, that did. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know, I find your story already just so inspirational, because here you are, you know, a lot of us, music impacts our lives from the very beginning. But you know, started your musical journey fairly later on in your life.
Yeah, it was like yesterday.
Right? Yeah. and look at how far you've already come. So I think it's a beautiful message there, because it's like it's never too late to start.
It's never too late for old people to start playing music.
We're not old. Everybody else is old. Yeah, no, but that's beautiful. Oh, cool. Nikki, do you have a question?
Yeah, actually, I think the first time, if we're going to deep dive into like when our paths cross, I met you at the Brew Barn at the Red Apple Farm.
Another great place.
Yeah. And we like instantly booked you.
Yes.
And you had an electric ukulele, yes, which I had never seen or knew that was a thing. And that thing was so cool. So you started off, I'm assuming, like with just like an acoustic one. But how did you get into the electric one?
So I have a lot of instruments, and, you know, I know guitarists and bassists have a lot, and people are, how many ukes do you have? Like 10? And, you know, I hang my head because it's at least twice that.
What?
Oh, yeah. But some of them have, like, you know, I got a Beatles one that's painted and has a scene from The Yellow Submarine, which is an incredible movie, and it just kind of hangs on the wall. It's there. But, you know, I started with, like, a $60 in the box package. I gave that away to a friend for every year when my musical anniversary, I call it my musical birthday, comes up, I give myself a present, and it's some kind of gear. So the first year I'm going to get an electric. I love surf rock music, and Dick Dale is like my guitar hero. And I saw him a lot of times at the Iron Horse, and he passed away a few years ago. And that's something I'm kind of working on the side. But there's so many other aspirations that I have that keeps falling off, and I don't pursue it. Maybe if I do that for 100 days this coming year, I'll be ready to play like he did. But I needed an electric to do that. So I started looking, and there's some budget brands that make them, and then there's some fancy ones. And I ordered one, but again, it was like November 2021. I think I ordered it in May because they told me it was going to be back ordered.
Oh, wow.
Because of the freighting issues during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided I wanted one, and was not even into like, what else do I need to go with this? I just need to get the uke first. And it didn't come, and it didn't come, and it didn't come. And it was getting close to November. So I decided I was going to get myself my first all solid wood uke. Uh-huh. And I ordered that and got a really nice pickup put into it. Mm-hmm. And it is all maple and sounds beautiful. And then a friend of mine who is like a mentor to me in the ukulele world plays an electric, and he had a custom one and decided he would sell me one of the budget brand ones because his wife told him, like, when the new one comes in, an old one goes out. And I was like, I said, I don't have a wife. I don't have that problem. So I actually ended up buying that from him used, and it was barely used. It still had plastic on like the guards. And
so did the one that you order ever come in?
The one I ordered eventually came in and got there in February.
Oh,
so then
goodness.
I had two.
Almost a year later.
Yeah. So then I had two. The one I bought from my friend, he sent to me and made sure it got to me for the anniversary. So there's like a picture of me like holding both of them, like, with a big smile on my face. And I have since passed that one on to a friend of mine.
I love that. It's like a traveling ukulele.
Yes. It's modeled after a Les Paul and has two humbuckers. And the kind of music I play, that's not necessarily what I wanted. I like a P90 or a single coil pickup. So those are all things that I nerded out on really hard before I was trying to figure out what was next. And I skipped the birthday when I ordered my custom, and that was the one that you saw me playing. So for my 1,000th day in a row of playing, I was like, there it is. I don't need to wait for the birthday. I put down a deposit with Fanner Guitar Works. They're in South Africa, and they are worldwide shipping custom electric ukes. The product is amazing. I know I'm never going to need another one, and I take really good care of it. But the process was delayed forever, and I would never do it again. So I'm really sad to say that about them.
No. But, just like a supply chain thing.
It was like, I gave you a deposit. You know, all my, they had 90% of my specs laid out from day one in August, and it did not get to me until May.
Wow.
And
wow.
They say that there's usually like a 12-week turnaround, and I was expecting it to actually kind of show up in November for my musical birthday. And that didn't happen, and I knew it wasn't going to, but somebody started messaging me. They use a special app to keep track of their orders, and they're like, oh, well, we ran out of the copper wire that we need to wind the pickups. I gave you hundreds of dollars. Why are my pickups not wound in August, and you're telling me this in, like, January?
Right.
Yeah.
So the end of the story is that I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and it's got the Rebel Alliance logo on the soundboard. It's red glitter and has some black stripes on it, and it arrived at my house on May the 4th.
Oh.
Wow.
So it worked out. Like, I was okay
with
that.
Talk about divine timing.
Yeah,
but I should have had it in November.
Sure.
Right.
And that's the one that I saw at the Brew Barn.
Yes, it's that's beautiful. What I was playing
then. It's beautiful.
And that was actually the day that I met you there was the day that my pedal board was doing some weird stuff. But then Jared thought it was like something in his sound system.
Yeah.
And it was actually my board. And then I ditched my board for months thinking, like, what's wrong with it? There's too many wires. And then I stopped playing electric for a while after it. So, but everything is fixed now. I figured it all out. And a friend of mine was like, I'll take it all apart and hose it out with air for you. I was like, I'm hoping it's not going to take that much, because my partner like hand wrapped all of the electrical wires underneath after I did all the patching, and I don't want to ever have to take it apart and reassemble it.
Oh yeah.
It's very curated of like pedals have come and gone over the past few years, and like pedals that I've gotten myself for the present on my birthday each year. I got the Theremin last year.
That is so freaking
cool. And this year
I
got my Looper, so that's loaded and ready for later.
Nice.
Yeah, I know the Theremin's always been like just such a cool instrument to me. Like there's a couple of instruments that I want to learn how to play one day, you know, to add to the pile of instruments I already have. Like I impulse bought a violin like last month, but Theremin has always been one of them. I don't know, like you think of like the movie, eerie movie sound effects, you know, like I don't know, I think of the Theremin, that and a dulcimer. I've always wanted to learn how to play.
Oh, yeah. That's
another one. I first learned about the Theremin because of Sheldon Cooper on the Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
And I was like, that's pretty rad. I had to look it up online. I was like, what is this thing he talked about? But eventually, my partner and I will cover Good Vibrations, and I will learn that riff.
Ooh, yes.
That is so awesome. And like, speaking of your partner, you also are a part of a duo.
Yes. We're called The Strange Invitation.
Yeah. You guys sound awesome together.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah, you guys have a great sound, great chemistry and energy. Like, I love it. So, folks, make sure you check them out as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you started playing 5 years ago. When did you and your partner start to, like, kind of form your group?
We met at Open Mic, and I'm a massive Beck fan, and his band played a Beck song, and I, like, recorded them and was singing along to it, and at the end of it, I was like, yeah, Beck! And he just looked around like, you know who Beck is? And I was like, who doesn't know who Beck is? And, like, that actually launched our conversation, and then we decided we wanted to start playing music together, and a while after that, things went into the life realm outside of music.
Yeah. So how far into your music journey was that when you guys started playing
like
together?
The halfway point, approximately.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that.
You know, there's a Beck song that I consider to be my theme song.
Oh, he's written a few songs about me.
Has he?
Yeah. The first one was Nightmare Hippie Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Girl Dreams. Those are both like 1994.
Oh, yeah.
They were very precise to who I was at the time. And since then, he's written Girl. That came out in like 2015, 2017, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine.
And we cover those songs. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Mine is Guero.
Okay.
Well, yeah. If the shoe fits.
Yeah, right.
Que onda, Guero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't know how to play that one.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That'd be kind of tough to figure out on the ukulele, I would think.
No, we'll figure it out. We'll adapt it. That's the thing. Like, sometimes people play covers and they want to sound exactly.
Oh, I know.
Like the original, which that's great. That shows you have the skill. First of all, I don't have that skill. But I realized I cover a bunch of dudes with guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm a female voice with an ukulele. So the more I learn about music, the more I can make things my own. But I realized I was doing that already and didn't know I was doing that.
Yeah.
I just thought this is how I do it at my skill level and with what I have. And
you were adapting it and overcoming.
And now I can do it really intentionally, which is
that's cool.
Empowering.
And you know, what's great about that is that a lot of these cover songs that you see out there, the ones that are done uniquely are the ones that go viral. I mean, like, I saw this gentleman playing the cello to one of Alanis Morissette's songs. And I was just like, wow. Like, I never expected to hear a man do this song. And it was beautiful. And
you don't usually hear the cello on its own.
No, that's true. That too. Yeah. Exactly. So there's 100% truth in that, in making it sound unique to you, even though it's a cover. It just it adds a whole another layer to it.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of layers.
Onions? Ogres? Where are we going with this? Well, speaking of layers, maybe we should.
You're like you stole my segue and then you didn't know where to go.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the punchline, Chris.
Yeah. So speaking of layers,
maybe we'll hear from a partner. Maybe we won't.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That's a good point. We should do an ad insertion.
You know, try at least get paid somehow.
Yeah. Yep. So, guys, we'll be right back after this message.
Maybe.
That you may or may not get in T-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, now. And we're back after that 5-hour-long advertisement, or not. Guys, so like I was saying before the break, speaking of layers, let's go ahead and add another layer to this musical journey by asking for another song.
All righty. I don't really understand the layer.
I don't understand the layer of that either.
Listen, we're stacking the songs on top of each other like layers.
Nikki, where's the womp womp button?
You know what? No, these layers just became Jenga and it fell apart.
It's true.
No, see, this whole thing's sweet because it's like cake. It's layers like cake. Okay, anyways.
I'll go with onions and ogres.
Keep the bats in the cave.
Get out of my swamp. All right, so what do you have for us now?
Some chili peppers.
Ooh, all right.
I'm falling off. circles with the birds I share.
Awesome. I love the Chili Peppers. That's like a bucket list show for me. So, but is there a favorite musical experience that you've had?
Well, yeah, Chris reminded me of it as I walked in here and he told me he'd been cyber stalking me and happened to find me on the internet.
I don't know what you mean.
This summer I went to go see Michael Fronte and Spearhead, and I went to the show by myself. I knew some friends would be there that I could catch up with. And I brought a little plastic ukulele into the show with me and thought, seen him a lot of times. He comes out and gives hugs after. Maybe I can get him to sign my uke. He's definitely a big songwriting inspiration to me. So I asked him after the show. I just walked up. It was at Treehouse in South Deerfield. So nice night outdoors. And I just got behind a bunch of people who were waiting to talk to him, hoped for the best. Asked him to sign it, and I ended up getting to play with him and sing with him. And 2 years ago in Northampton, he played at Look Park, and I talked to the guitarist a lot after, and then I saw them in Hampton Beach, and I talked to him there, and he remembered me from a few nights before, and I was like, I really want to play, because he would play the ukulele on one song. I was like, I really want to play ukulele on that song with you guys. And he's like, that's Michael's ukulele, so I can't give you permission to play it. But I would ask him, and I was like, oh my God, this kid is the sweetest. He's no longer with the band. I was really sad that, like, the next year when they came back on tour, he wasn't with them anymore. But him and his fiance, wife, they are a duo, and they're beautiful together. And that's what he decided to pursue. I think that's why he went in that direction, so.
Well, if only we could watch that. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go.
Cyber stalker.
Billy? Thank you so much.
Were you expecting that?
No, that blew my mind. And then I'm like, what do I play?
Yeah.
What do I play? I have to play his music. Which song of his that I play do I remember right now while I'm in shock? This one.
Such a sweetheart.
He is. So I mentioned that I've been seeing him since Bergfest in the video, and he's like, oh, okay, because that's over 20 years ago, and they used to have this amazing festival that got shut down because there are too many wooks in the woods. They actually have a summer stage there now, and they refuse to do anything that's beyond a day-long event because of what happened that long ago. But I used to go each year, and he'd be there, and I played soccer like on the concert field with him back then because he would just be in the crowd hanging out. So that's what he does. That's like it's super part humble. Of absolutely. And it's a beautiful thing to be part of because he just treats the entire audience like everybody. He wants everybody to know that every single individual is important as the collective is. And then makes you, like, he delivers. He shows you that he means what he's saying. It's really touching.
That's cool. That's cool. I, you know, normally we'll eventually get to some of these other questions where I'm like, what's the craziest moment you've had in your music career? But I think we already know
that's
now.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah. I was like, crazy things aren't happening at gigs. They, like, happen outside of that.
Yeah. You know?
So right. The people that have come into my life because of music and that experience happening are because I play, but when I'm playing, there aren't things that are happening.
Yeah. Well,
I would have cried, I think. Like
I did on the way home.
My goodness.
As soon as I was leaving, because that was already after the show, mm-hmm. there were people in the audience, oh my God, that was you. Great job. And I was like, thank you. And I was just like, what? And I'm there by myself walking through the crowd. And all these people are just like, thank you so much for doing that. I'm like, I didn't even know I was going to do that. And as I was about to leave, I was like, I don't have a video. He had two videographers surrounding him.
I was going to say, you could see it was
his
behind.
Video.
Yeah, it's behind the fence.
But like, I didn't know if that was going to get posted because they do that when he brings people up on stage to dance or to sing with him. And that's just all the time. And I haven't seen all of those videos surface from when I've been at the show. So I didn't know if this one was going to. But there were people on the way out. They're like, they saw me walking by myself and did anybody film that for you? And I was like, no, I didn't know that that was going to happen. And like some strangers sent it to me so that I could have it. And they were horrible recordings, but I didn't care.
Right.
And then like 24 hours later, that one surfaced. So as soon as I got back to the car, and you have to take the shuttle bus back to Yankee Candle, and then you get in your car, and I was texting Mike like, oh my God, I can't believe this thing just happened. And he's like, that's so cool. And I didn't feel like it was real. And then I listened to it a few times on the way home, and I was like, I don't know if I just dreamed that. Maybe it's not a reality.
It started to set in on your ride home.
The next day, my phone started blowing up, and all my friends were sending it to me from Instagram because he had posted it on their Instagram page. And I was like, oh my God, and like thousands of views and thousands of comments, and every single comment just made me tear up all over again. And that kept happening for days. But I went to, I think that show was on a Tuesday, and on Saturday night I went to go see them at Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom. And after the show, he was super swarmed there, and I didn't think I was going to get to talk to him. And there were probably like 10 people still waiting to hug him between me and him. And security's trying to tell him, like, you got to get.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want to hang out with my people, you know. And I just waved to him and he waved back to me. And I wasn't sure if he remembered who I was. Mm-hmm. And I just yelled to him, thank you so much for singing with me and having me play for you there. He's like, oh my God, come here. And he pulled me up and he gave me a big hug, and he had his PR person like come up and get my contact information so that they could share me with me as a collaborator. And then every single time someone commented on it, I got a notification. I had to turn it off, but like every single time it came back up, my heart would melt again. Oh. And the experience was touching, but I don't know if people, if you don't live that as a young musician, like this early in playing, I don't know if it has the same impact. Like if I had started playing as a kid and I'd been doing this for 30 years, I don't think it would have meant as much to me.
Right.
Yeah.
It almost like validates like this is the I'm doing the right thing.
I've got a friend who lives in South Carolina and she's a full-time musician, and she had commented on it. And she wrote something to the effect of, like, she taught herself to play music so that she could shine like this. And it chokes me up now thinking about
heart.
It. So the things that, like, strangers and friends were saying just kept
Yeah, and it was just all beautiful messages.
A lot of, like, really soft hits right to the soul, and it lifts you. Like, I had a hard time with some things that were going on a little after that, and every single time the video popped back up, I was like, that puts it in perspective, so.
I love that so much, and, I mean, even when that happened, like, you text me, like, directly text me the link to that, and I was, like, all smiles.
Yeah,
like,
I had my new best friend from, like, 3 weeks before.
I know. And then I get, like, a random text from Kendra, and I look, and I see this video, and I start watching it. And, like, not only did I get, like, the goosebump chills, but I had, like, the biggest ear-to-ear smile. And I was so freaking happy for you. And
Thank
then I
you.
Shared it with Chris. And I was like, she's coming on her show in December.
Yeah.
Like, you got to see this. This is amazing. Like, yeah, I just, my heart exploded for you.
That level of people, even the video, like people sharing my joy with me, it just amplifies it so drastically. And to have the whole crowd start singing along, it was the same
I think that's when
experience.
The goosebumps started. Yeah.
And then when I see his video, I see like everybody with their phones out recording it. And I was just like, the ripple was so wide. It just popped up recently on my scroll the other day, too. And I was like, oh, what's that? And there was, like, a new comment that had surfaced. And somebody had said, like, you need to have her open for you this summer on your tour. So I tagged him in it. And I was like, challenge accepted. I'm going to be really bold here and say that I would love to do that. And at that point, I would hope that it would be as a duo, not just me.
So we have what's called behind me the manifestation station.
Oh, okay. So it's like the Make-A-Wish musician.
Yes, it's exactly what it is.
We've had guests say, like, this is my dream venue. I want to play, like, here in, like, Iceland. And, like, a year later,
Iceland
happened.
Is so much more ambitious than where
But it's the fact that they spoke it into existence in our studio, and it actually came to fruition.
Was that Seth?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I will channel some Seth Newton magic and talk to the manifestation wall before I leave.
He is referred to our studio as the Studio of Dreams. He will, you know, just preach, like, speak it into existence in our studio. So
outstanding.
The fact that you just said that, like, nope, it's into the universe now.
So, you know, that's what I love about music, right? Is that, you know, you go out there, you perform for people, and that part's great, like the actual playing of the instrument, but it's the human connections that you make, you know, between each other. And it doesn't matter, like, how big the musician is or how big the venue is, or, you know, when you as a musician get a chance to make those connections, like, it's special, and it really impacts you know, the other person. And I love the fact here you are, you know, just starting your musical journey, and then you have that interaction, and look how it's influenced you now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know we heard the song on the recording.
Ooh.
But you think maybe we could hear it here in studio?
Sure thing. It's nice because over time I realize I now know a lot of songs out of my head. When I first started playing, I was playing a lot of songs I've known and been singing along to for 30 years. But once I would learn the chords, I forgot the words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to have them in front of me and
emotional support lyrics.
Now I have emotional support lyrics, but I used to have to stare at it. And, like, I could look up once in a while, but then I started, like, color coding everything in front of me. So I would have the benchmark spot to look back if I needed it. And over time, I was like, if I stop learning a new song, like, every single day and start playing things repeatedly, I'm sure some of them are going to stick. So the fact that that one did in that moment, I was like, okay, I gotta play something for him. Like, Nirvana? No. Pearl Jam? No. And as I said, I was sticking my Sharpie in the uke case and didn't throw the strap over my neck because I was just like, oh my God, he asked me to play. I have to do this. What am I going to play? And, like, Beck and Nirvana and Foo Fighters and Weezer are all going through my head. And I was like, that's not going to make any sense whatsoever. And then the song actually just came up and I thought I was going to destroy it. I thought I was going to drop everything on the ground. I thought I might have heart palpitations and pass out. And none of those things happened. So I'd be happy to play it for you in a calm environment.
I love the fact that he was vibing with you. And he was like, yes. Yeah, okay. And then he's like singing along. Like, yeah, that was, so
and once he started singing along with me, there's part of it where I do lift my voice.
So you harmonize with him.
And he does. Well, then he harmonized with me and I was like, oh my God, this is just.
That's a dream come true right there.
Yeah, it really was. It still is.
That's so beautiful.
Like it just keeps coming true because I won't ever forget it.
Yeah.
I wish I had some time just to kill today. And I wish I'd have done for every bill I've got to pay. Some days you lose, you win, and the waters and sighs. Times you're in, so I jump back in when I learn to swim. Better keep my head above it the best I can. That's why here I am, just waiting for the storm to pass me by.
I take a huge breath here because it goes into the next verse and the crowd thought I was done and I would have kept playing the song because I was loving singing with him. Someone from Bobby said, what's a man? You got a little work or 20 to lend. I opened up my hand, he said, I'm glad to see they can take away my job and I'm not friends, you see.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to go ahead and segment that song. I usually don't announce which songs I'm going to segment for the feature. I'm going to segment that one. I'm going to then let you know, and so that you can tag him on that one.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like...
Let's surround him. Like, you guys tag him.
We're all going to poke him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you imagine, like, okay, picture. You're, like, opening up for him, and you play that song, and then he just comes out and starts singing with you.
Put that on the wall.
You're going to put it on the wall.
Okay. Throw it like wet spaghetti.
Yeah.
It's going to stick because it's ready. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're ready.
We're ready.
That's a strange invitation I'd like to bring on stage.
Yeah. I love all this. You know, just to let the audience know, none of this is scripted. Like, nothing. This is just it free flows.
I see what you did there.
I know. I can't escape it.
It's very organic.
It's right. I totally didn't pick up on that one by myself. But seriously, it's cool. Like, especially when you have special moments like this, and you know, we thank you for sharing that story. Like, what an amazing experience.
Absolutely.
Thank you for texting me and sharing that with me. Like, when it happens,
I had to share the elation.
Yeah,
it was more than I could handle by myself. Right. It's nice when you can reach out, share wonderful things with people. I think we tend to suffer on our own, but like, we don't savor our joy with people, even worse than we don't seek support when we need it.
Right.
So I don't know. I was overflowing and needed to.
My heart,
oh my God, did you see this?
My heart exploded with happiness.
And that's what I needed to share with people, because I just kept feeling like I was being turned inside out from the rib cage in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your happiness.
Thank you for enjoying it with me.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask, is that ukulele behind glass and like...
So it's a polycarbonate carbon fiber composite.
Ooh.
That one is a soprano. I have two that are identical. And then I have a red one that is a concert. And they live in my car because as a paddleboarder and road tripper, I go camping and take them with me. So, like, the red one's been played in the ocean and the tuning pegs are a little sticky. But they live with me and go out on my paddleboard all the time. So I just figured, whatever. I gave him a green Sharpie. It was the only thing I had in my car.
Yeah.
Ideally, a silver Sharpie would have been the thing. And I keep thinking, maybe I'll bring it back to another show sometime and then actually have him sign it for me. But, I mean, he did sign it. He drew on it. Ooh. And when he did, it's very hard to see, but it is now hanging up. I have a bamboo soprano that I had Jake Shimabukuro sign for me when I went to go see him. I did not get to play with him, and I was not ready at that point in time either, so there was no way. And he plays all crazy chord melody and like everywhere up and down the neck. And that's not yet my style. Maybe one day it will be, but it's not what I'm aspiring to do.
Yeah.
So that one I hung up because that's black Sharpie on bamboo.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, you can't even see. And people are like, well, you better at least seal it with something. And I said, this thing goes out on the water with me all the time. It's going to get sun zapped or something. So it is currently retired. And the matching one is the one that lives inside a cabinet in my classroom because I play every day in the hallway on hall duty in the morning.
I love that.
That's amazing. Like, I never got like a little mini concert going down our hallways back in high school.
Well, it's super cool too, because like I dressed up as Kurt Cobain and played Nirvana songs on my uke on Halloween in school.
Awesome. I love that.
And one of the kids was really excited about it, but a lot of the kids didn't know who I was. And I was like, that's a you problem, guys. Sorry. But one day I had some kid walk by and he's like, oh, what else do you play? And sometimes I'm just playing, like, maybe Mike throws a new song out and I learn the chord progression. I, like, look it up on the way to work. And then I'm just practicing in the hallway so that I can get it into my hands. Other times, it's a little more intentional. Like, I've been playing Christmas music the past week or two in the halls. And I was playing something and some kid was like, what are you playing right now? And I told him. Maybe it was Weezer at the time. And he's like, do you know any Green Day? And I was like, what song? And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, whatever. So I started playing She. And he was like, okay, miss. So it's been pretty neat that once in a while they throw something out. And I'm like, yeah, if you know the stuff from my time, I can probably play something for you.
You know, it's crazy. Like, you, try to play some like Smells Like Teen Spirit, and they're like, huh? But then you're like, you start playing Pink Pony Club, and they're like, oh, like,
I don't even know what Pink Pony Club is.
You know, it's better off. It's
better off that way. And if I can just say too, because I had a teacher when I was in sixth grade, Miss Warrington, and she would walk around with a tiny little Casio keyboard, and she would like. You could always tell when she was coming down the hallway because she'd like just mash on the keys and make a bunch of noise and like make her way through the crowd during, you know, when everyone was switching classes. And she would do the same thing. She'd hold it in her arm and she'd start playing
wild
tunes.
One-handed.
That was 25 years ago, and I have never lost that. So I can guarantee you 25 years from now, your students will probably still remember you playing ukulele in the halls. Oh, yeah,
that kid, too, that asked for Green Day, like the next few times that I saw him. Different Green Day songs happened, and he was like, "Miss," and he's not my student. Right. I didn't know him.
Yeah, no, he's not going to forget
out
that.
Of the crowd before. So sometimes I think I want to bring the theremin to school, and I would totally spook them out
on like Halloween.
I have to go around this little corner to plug it in the hallway where my duty is during homeroom, and they'd be like, "What's that?" But
oh, that's so cool!
I can guarantee you that kid is not gonna forget that. Like, if I 25 years later, I still remember her like just noodling around on a Casio in the hallway. Yeah.
And I've even given away a few of my ukes at school, so like the ones that would otherwise be retired because I upgraded big time, and at this point, I have everything that I need, so I'm not buying anymore.
Yeah.
But you know, when you start finding out the components of the instruments and what the quality is and what sound you like and all that sort of stuff, it's like, okay, I can let some of these go.
I mean, that's so cool that you, you know, have done that. And, you know, some of those stories just live rent-free in those children's heads. I remember, you know, it's not music related, but I had a teacher, a math teacher, who was also the football coach, named Mr. Truax. Hi, Mr. Truax. And one day I brought a laser pointer to school.
That's a big no-no.
That's a big no-no, right? Because I was like pointing on the chalkboard behind him, and the kids were laughing. And of course, I was the class clown, whatever. And he turns around, and he's like, all right, bring it up. And I was like, ah. So I got up, I handed him the laser pointer. He's like, you'll get this back at the end of the day, not a second sooner. And I was like, okay.
And then he used it.
And then he used it. Yeah.
That
then
would
he
be
used,
me.
Then he used it. Yeah. Because then I was like walking in the hallway, and I just see him getting the other teachers like, zap, zap.
Yeah.
I would have waited for him to like start going around the floor and like pretend to be like a cat or something.
I was hoping that's what the teacher did to you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Anyways, that's really cool. So I want to ask you... because you've had such this really amazing journey in such a short period of time, and you know you've done so well so far, and I can't wait to see what you go from here. What kind of advice would you have to anybody who is aspiring to become a musician?
Just freaking do it.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of the mindset that like I don't know how, so I can't.
Yep.
I'm self-taught, and like I said, I see it with teenagers all day, every day at work, and they're not good at something. They don't want other people to witness them being crappy at it, and it's like, you have to start that way. People are so afraid to make mistakes, and almost all of them are reversible. Like, learning to drive is probably the scariest unreversible outcome. But you have to do it to get good at it.
Oh, yeah.
And most of us are on autopilot, like hopefully not distracting ourselves. But we move through life and all of these things become natural. And then hopefully you keep pushing yourself. Like maybe it is just a hobby that kind of fades into the background. But why wouldn't you want to collect hobbies? They're like life experience points.
Absolutely.
So when I invested that $60 in my first uke, I was like, eh. I don't need to get a nice one. My friend's like, no, you don't. Like, and I was like, all right, cool. Like, I will get this. And I started, then I needed the carbon fiber one that I could take on my paddleboard because somehow the algorithm, even 5 years ago, was like, oh, we see you post nuke videos. Now we know what we can sell you.
Oh, yeah.
I think that that was the onset of those times. And, like, obviously, I'd posted plenty of pictures of paddleboarding. And Facebook was just like, I know how we can put these two things together and make more money. Mm-hmm. And it worked. So.
Wow.
But, like, people are just too afraid to not be good. Yep. Just do it. Just do it. Just be willing to suck.
Yep.
Embrace the suck.
Yeah. Because that's where you're going to start. And then you surprise yourself. And there's something in that. Like, that's where the real dopamine hits should come from. Not the scrolling. Not people clicking like. Like, people you don't know clicking like. It's one thing to be sharing an experience through that sort of thing. But when I look back, I'm perpetually surprised. Like, I just started using the looper this week. And this morning I pre-recorded my loop to play a theremin for you guys today. And I was like, I'm not going to do it live because I'll be distracted or nervous. And
yeah,
I might get it, but I also just might spend a lot of time being like, okay, guys, take 16.
And oh, like Nikki and her intro?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. I figured, you know, like, let me stick with this. And I only practiced a handful of times. And I was like, okay, now I got this for this purpose. But there's 8 million other features. Now I have to dive into those and keep, like, leveling up with it. And I intentionally purchased my gear to do those things, too. So it's like, when I get something, it's now my forever toy. It's not just, like, let me upgrade my uke by 2% and collect them along the way.
So, you know, I love all that. But now that you mentioned it, we are getting close to the end here. And before, you know, we say our goodbyes, I think this is going to be the perfect time to go ahead and segue into this last song. Do you have a name for this song?
Not yet. It's okay. An original. I've written the chords. So Mike and I started working on an album. We went to see the total solar eclipse.
Ooh, yeah.
In northern New Hampshire in April 2024.
Yeah.
Before our lives crossed paths, I had watched the one that was like 80-something percent here in 2017. I'm a science teacher. So, like, you know, I go home and go on the internet, when's the next one? Because we can calculate that, which is...
Oh, yeah. Crazy, right?
Thank you, Aristophanes, and everybody else who paved the way for that. So I knew I was going, and eventually I was like, hey, you want to come with me and do this thing? And he was like, I don't know. And we talked about it, and he was like, yeah, let's do it. And it was just such an amazing experience. So I started writing music about it. Oh. And I kind of laid the storyline out, and he does stop animation work and has actually created, like, I don't want to call them dolls. Like, I guess I should call them action figures, but they're made out of, like, drawing forms. And he had made one a long time ago for some stop animation stuff he had started working on and didn't finish. And for our first Christmas a few years ago, he made one of me, and, like, it has a red cape, and he hand-carved an ukulele for my figure. And it's, like, got my hair. I love the Disco Biscuits, and I have a Disco Biscuits winter hat. And he, like, made the hat out of the same color fabric, and where their circle logo is, it has a little gem on it. I mean, the detail is insane. So... ideally, when we finish writing this album that we started to lay out a bit about a year ago now, there will be a movie that will go along with all the songs. So I think that this song is on there. There's only one completed song that has all the lyrics and the parts. And I don't want to play that for you guys because I feel like without the layers that he adds to it on his guitar, it's not.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's us. And I don't want to do that without them. So
that makes sense.
I guess that just
this
means
is where I would go.
A Strange Invitation is going to have to come onto the show next.
I think so. And then maybe we'll be able to talk about how we're opening for the South Deerfield Michael Franti show over the summer.
Yes.
I'm going to keep putting it out there because I put playing with him out there after I talked to the guitarist a couple years ago. I didn't imagine the details around it at all. And now I know maybe I don't maybe just like think about the outcome and let the path unravel on its own, because that's what happened for me this summer.
I'm really big into like speaking things into existence. So
okay,
get that out there in the, into the universe.
That's awesome.
It's going to happen.
So let's go ahead and get you in position for this yet to be titled song. Thank you. Woo-hoo.
That was amazing. You want to talk about putting energy into the universe? Like, that was like some musical sorcery going on there.
You just have
to
use the force.
If sure. That sounds like a Star Wars reference that I would know nothing about. But
that's why you don't play the theremin.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen one in the flesh before either. But what got you into wanting to, like, play one? And, like, what is... Okay, Miss Science Teacher, like, what is the science behind this?
Your body's just interrupting the electromagnetic field.
So sciencey.
Yeah. So that's why when we set up the behind the scenes is, like, I've got a... I feel like I'm setting up a defibrillator when I turn on the theremin. And sometimes we'll take it out to open mic and people will be backing us and they don't understand and they haven't seen it. And everybody in the place is like, "Oh, what's that?" And I like tell everybody, stand back, because the theremin needs to calibrate to everything in the room around it. So I'm the moving piece. And I need to clear all the other people away so that the theremin doesn't think that they're part of that radius of environment around it. My understanding is that you can't have two of them within like 12 feet of each other. And I have to back 4 feet away from it to calibrate it. So
like, what will happen if like it's too close? Will it just create like, you know, when you have like two magnets and it like pushes them away?
Yeah, pushes or pulls.
Yeah.
I imagine it would be something like that and you just wouldn't have any control or predictability over what was happening. And there's been times when I've not been able to control it. I didn't get the outcome that I wanted when I first started playing it. And some of that is in the digital settings because it's got an embedded synth in it. It's not a traditional theremin. But there are so many things that I have to set up, and then it's like, is it actually just something in the room? Is it too close to a cable? It's like when you noted that wires were crossed earlier and we had the little high-pitched noise when we were getting set up. Those kinds of things can impact that instrument as
like,
well.
Do you need a Furman for your theremin?
It needs a bubble. Yep. And clearly George is a uke.
So. Yeah, let's give a little
give
shout
George
out
some
to
props.
Yeah, props to George for his
That's who was playing the ukulele part in that song.
Yes. Yes.
I have to take credit for that because I worked so hard to time it on the looper.
Yeah, that's like with a looper. You can make your song get quick, like real easily.
Yeah.
I love it. I kind of now want to get two Thurmans together and see if it'll open up another portal to another dimension.
I will let you know because I think that I will eventually get a Moog Etherwave. Ooh. Is probably what I want to.
Can you
upgrade
like
to
dueling Thurmans?
Epic.
Yes. Like, no how moon. Does so like how does because you were changing like the pitch of it and all that, like how does that even work?
Yeah, one is pitch and the other is the volume. So I mean you can only solo on it or play. This is where my newness to being a musician is gonna come in. I guess I can only play a melody on it. But the horizontal antenna is pretty much like a wah or expression pedal.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, I don't know the science behind how you would accomplish this.
Well, we have ask a science teacher here.
You will.
Hello, biology is my area of it's my expertise.
Okay. I'm wondering, how do you get a theremin orchestra put together?
In a very large room.
Well, let me tell you, this has been such a pleasure to get to know you and your story and your journey. And even though your musical journey may seem like a short one to you, you've already just excelled in so many different areas. Yeah,
it's really been like a blink in my lifetime. And at the same time, I don't remember not being a player of music anymore.
Yeah, it always feels like it's been a part of your life.
Well, I mean, like you said too, when you're doing this every single day, day in and day out, like it just becomes the normal.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see.
I don't want to imagine a day without it. Yeah. So
well, that's beautiful.
I absolutely love this. I absolutely love this time we got to spend with you. So for anybody that's interested in finding your music, where can they go?
You can find me on, well, my initial page was Keek and the Kooks, and that has some older solo stuff on my own Facebook page, which was displayed. Oh, it still is displayed behind me. The name I've gotten stuck with that I don't use. You can find me there, and most of my music is public, even a lot of the early days. I need to clean it up a little bit. I don't think everybody needs to see that journey.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that all of the early days are public as well. A Strange Invitation has a Facebook and an Instagram page.
Okay.
Perfect. And those are the spots.
Do you have any gigs coming up soon, like end of January or Strange Invitation or both?
Yeah, we are. I'm really sad that just the other day I found out that we had gotten into a venue in East Hampton, and I was really excited to play a hometown show. And the venue is closing tomorrow permanently. Oh. So they just had to notify us last few days and be like, sorry. And I was like, no, I'm sorry, because it was a community staple, that venue. But we are playing at, on January 31st, A Strange Invitation is playing at Lost Towns Brewing. And that is going to involve a lot of funky jamming and original stuff. And even the partial songs, they come out, because Mike is also a multi-instrumentalist and has been playing a lot more and has a lot more skills than I do. So I'll bring the Yukon Theremin in my voice, and he actually started playing ukulele too, so maybe he'll jam on a uke a little bit during that show. But bass, drums, guitar. And then we are there again on February 16th. And since that is right after Valentine's Day, they had somebody booked already, but asked us to come and play a set of love songs. So that is the fitting time and place for it. And it's on, is that President's Day? I don't, it's the beginning of school vacation week. So it's an important holiday for that purpose to me.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for coming down
here.
Thank you
for having me. Thanks for discovering me, Nikki.
Yeah. Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks for on the spot, you know, scheduling with us.
Bring the duo back, and I'll bring my electric.
Yes.
My electric uke.
Well, again, thank you so much. I mean, and then this was what it's all about, you know, the show that we get to do here. And, you know, it just really sheds some light on the awesome musicians that we have in this area and their wonderful stories. Guys, thank you again for tuning in on this episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. We hope that you are following us on all of our platforms, whether it be on YouTube or so on, you know, our audio format. We are in quite a few different places. Nikki, you want to let them know where they can find us?
Wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and like you mentioned, YouTube. So give us a follow. And not only does it help us, you know, get all these musicians in the world, but it also shines a bigger spotlight on them as well.
Yes. So again, guys, thank you again to our guest.
Miss Kendra.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And that's been another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. We out.
Bye. So, I love how you just busted out that ukulele, that kazoo, because when God was creating a duck, he said, waterproof that chicken and give it a kazoo.
Waka waka.
On that note, we out. The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering, and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.